This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, broadcasting today once again from Oklahoma. KOSU in Oklahoma City, to be exact. We've come here to experience a place that is enthusiastic about the next 4 years, and a place where some of the toughest, hardest chapters in American history were lived. From the Dust Bowl to the Great Depression to the boom and bust oil economy that keeps the lights on around the world, these people don't like to be lectured to about the environment. They've been living off the land for generations. They know nature's wrath as well as her gifts. And what they mostly know is the price of oil.
I'd like to see the price of oil come back up because if you're going to Stillwater and you see all them rigs laying on the ground over there and you think about how many thousand jobs or 1,000 people are out of work just because them rigs are laying over there, you know, it kind of makes you stop and think.
Bob Noltensmeyer is the city emergency manager in Cushing. It's just north of Oklahoma City, not far from Stillwater, where he was talking about all those abandoned rigs. They measure the economy in oil rigs around here. One of the things most Americans don't know is that for all of Barack Obama's reputation for tackling climate change, the last 8 years have seen America become one of the three biggest oil producers in the world through a combination of federal policies, advanced drilling technologies, and favorable prices. Oil is gushing in Cushing. The city, in fact, is the perfect snapshot of the complexity of U.S. energy policy right now. And you might say Cushing has been literally trembling in its boots.
My husband and I had to hold on to the bedpost. It was so bad.
Oh my gosh. We had a 5.0 earthquake November the 6th. It shook things pretty good, and we recovered very well.
That earthquake was huge news around these parts, but Bob Noltensmeyer is a little sensitive talking about it to a couple of strangers from New York City.
There are a lot of tree-huggers running around here blaming the oil and gas industry.
Environmentalists.
Yeah. Okay. The thing of it is, they may have a minute responsibility of this. There's nothing confirmed on it. I used to drive for a service company. We did a lot of fracking, and this has been going on for years. Fracking, injection, and you look at different places around in Texas and North Dakota, South Dakota, that are doing the same thing. They don't have it. The thing of it is, we live on 5 fault lines. That makes a lot of difference.
You can see the earthquake damage in this forlorn little town by just strolling down Main Street. For an earthquake zone, the town of Cushing, Oklahoma, doesn't have a lot of dramatic geology. No canyons here, no big rock formations suggesting the power of the earth underneath. But there's damage. Bricks falling off walls, piles of debris, tattered caution tape. Yep, the ground shook here, and people remember it.
Respecting Bob's opinion, I tend to listen to a lot of different sources of information.
Now, Jeremy Frazier, the assistant city manager in Cushing, will admit that the earthquake has people worried for the first time about aggressive use of fracking and high-pressure water extraction techniques for getting oil.
I can say that, generally speaking, when there are very few of a event and you change something, and then after the fact there are quite a few more of those events, you know, those events being earthquakes in this case, I personally believe that there is some connection. I also believe that the state of Oklahoma would not have reduced the number of injection wells had there not been a connection of some sort.
I've been a friend of the oil industry for years. Like I said, I used to drive for a service company. I know how it works. I know how it operates. I don't think that they're fully totally responsible for it.
But Bob Noltensmeyer was still shaken by that November 6th quake. It was an emergency he doesn't usually think about.
A 5.0 earthquake, I mean, it shook everything, and it did more damage to things than a normal earthquake or tornado or anything would do. It shook a lot of brick loose on different buildings and everything. Luckily, we only had one injury, minor, very minor, and we lucked out very well. Just a lot of shattered nerves.
Shattered nerves and a reminder that the big oil companies in Cushing are prospering. Even if this town's bricks are crumbling, and the whole community looks like it's seen better days. Assistant City Manager Jeremy Fraser.
The oil companies, with the exception of just a few, are actually located, for the most part, outside of the city limits. And what we find, and at least what I've been told, is that a great portion of those employees actually commute into the community. They work at the oil facilities, and then they commute back home. In terms of the standard of living within the community, while there are some individuals that prosper, the majority of those people do live outside of at least the city limit.
So head outside of town, outside of the city limit, and you see a landscape that looks something like an alien civilization. Sensitivity about environmental regulations and policy is not hard to understand here in Cushing, Oklahoma. On this windy scrubland, the people have bet their livelihood and their lives on fossil fuels. And you can see it just south of Cushing, a huge storage tank facility, the largest in the world, with names like Enbridge, Plains, TEPCO, ConocoPhillips, Sunoco. Together, it holds more than 46 million barrels of oil, capable of setting the price of West Texas crude since 1983. It means oil is everything in this town, and anything that threatens it threatens everything. Those giant tanks that stretch for miles represent the oil wealth of a continent, and that means Cushing is the linchpin of American energy policy. It actually sets the price of oil. We spent some time with reporter Joe Wirtz of State Impact Oklahoma, who says the way Oklahomans think about the land is not the way environmentalists think about it. Here, you use everything. Farmland, fossil fuels, even the abundant wind in Oklahoma figures into the calculation of prosperity. If it means that fracking and high-pressure water extraction shakes up the earth, so be it. Joe Wirtz says the whole energy game has changed here over the last few decades.
Boy, it sure has. You know, we've been fracking in Oklahoma for decades, but really the combination of the well completion technique known as fracking, which uses high pressure water to crack rock underground, and horizontal drilling, which allows you to drill into these really narrow deposits and unlock oil and gas that we've known has been there, but haven't been able to get it out. These two combined resulted in runaway production over the years, in recent years here in Oklahoma and a lot of states.
And runaway production, that means that in the United States today, we don't talk so much about energy independence because the United States has become, because of this technology, one of the biggest producers in the world.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the story these days is about American oil and gas, and that hasn't been the case over the decades throughout the country yet. We're really able to be self-reliant and use a lot of what we make here, and in some cases, ship it out, export it, become producers for the world, and bring American oil to global markets.
And the flat lands of Oklahoma, you know, that's just the surface. But down below, there's a whole rich story, and some of the details of that story of what's happening underneath the earth are coming to the surface. Explain how the underground of Oklahoma is revealing itself in these days of fracking.
Underneath Oklahoma, we do have these vast oil and gas deposits, which are the primary economic driver of Oklahoma. But also underground are these vast quantities of water. These are ancient oceans, right, that have been locked and trapped under layers and layers of rock. This water is, you know, it's toxic. It's super salty. It's got metals and weird salts and underground elements that have infused with it. So when Oklahomans drill for oil and drill for natural gas, they get that water comes up to the surface with it. And the name of the game in the oil business in Oklahoma is to get rid of that water. And the government-approved method of dealing with that toxic water, which you don't want anywhere near drinking water, you don't want it near creeks and rivers and streams or farmers' fields, what you do is you pump it back down where you got it. You pump all that water back underground. And scientists say the pumping of that wastewater, you know, billions of barrels of it a year, is disrupting fault lines and causing earthquakes. We're changing the earth, and the earth is changing.
Now, when I'm driving in Oklahoma and I see wind farms,
right,
is that the sign of some movement away from oil and gas and towards some sort of sustainable solar panel utopia that I haven't heard about?
Yeah, Oklahoma is a major wind state, one of the top states in the country for wind power capacity. It's been booming. You know, Oklahoma is obviously synonymous with wind. It's in the song, and it's certainly a big part of the cultural identity for Oklahoma. It's not uncommon to find Oklahomans who are doing three different things, who are making money three different ways. They're a farmer, they're a wind farmer, and they're in the oil and gas business. They look at it as, you know, making money from the land. And if that money comes from cattle, it comes from ranching, great. If it comes from, you know, an oil and gas well, that's fine too. And if it means putting up a wind turbine and making money that way, Oklahomans will, you know, by any means necessary. It's a tough place in a lot of these spots of the state. You have to diversify and look at ways to make money. If you're a rancher and we get into a round of drought, which has happened in recent years, the checks that you get from the wind company might make all the difference in the world.
One of the amazing things here is that what you're talking about is in not too many years, some green energy, environmental hippie kind of person in Tennessee could be getting their wind power from one of the most pro-fossil fuel states in the country, right?
That's right.
Only in America.
Only in America. Only in Oklahoma.
Joe Wirtz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.